The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk. It is Tuesday, the 24th of May, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. My guest joining me today is Mr. Mark Palmer. How are you?
Morning.
Morning. Thank you. It's great to have you back. I missed you last week.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Listen, you weren't caught up in a Tesla, were you? You were trapped in a Tesla.
No.
Okay, because, wow, listen, this story, May 19th, a Tesla on autopilot kills four construction workers in California. And I thought, wow. Apparently, investigators suspect a revenge attack after four construction workers broke the window of a Tesla that had automatic locked, right? Has an automatic lock feature when the Tesla caught on fire. And so those construction workers had to break the window to get the passenger, the driver out of that one. So I think this autopilot quote-unquote accident.
Well, you know, I don't understand why you would lock a vehicle after it caught on fire. It doesn't make sense. So maybe there was some kind of fault or defect, maybe in Tesla. Because I know he's always saying that, you know, they are safe. And once they get to the point when that automated vehicles are safer than humans, you know, that will make a huge difference. Then everything will move over to that. But this is the biggest fear that people have. Well,
I tell you what, I don't have that fear at all, because we're never going to have self-drive cars here in the Bahamas. It's never going to happen.
Maybe in 100 years.
No, because they're not going to sell us the self-drive option. Dear Tesla owners, check your thing. You're in the Bahamas. You're not worthy of all the things that people in developed countries are worthy of. And you don't get it automatically. Like, you think you get it automatically. Mm. Like, you think you wake up in the Bahamas and you buy a Tesla, and your Tesla going to have everything that the boy in Canada or in Norway, when he ordered his Tesla, is going to have. No.
So we're going to have the Netflix version of Tesla.
To be honest with you, is it not our saving grace? Like, is this not like an example of irony, where, oh, are we too poor and backwards to have these nice fancy things that y'all have in the, so, dear Erica, this is part where you pay attention, to have those nice fancy things they have in developed worlds, are we not worthy of that? Oh, okay, that's cool. So my car won't just run hot and decide to drive itself because I refuse to stop at stop signs? that's not what's gonna happen. Like, my car, you think, well, if I get an autopilot Tesla, will my car automatically shut off if I decide to overtake seven or eight cars on Shirley Street heading north to try and turn left?
Or turn on the Mackey Street, Shirley Street section.
That's right there. Yeah. Right there, like that guy in that gold van with the back of the van mashup, because he probably do this often. Like, if I had an autopilot Tesla, would it stop before I could even engage in that foolishness? Like, if I were a fancy enough person, like if I made enough money or I had enough influence or prestige in this country, would I be able to buy a autopilot Tesla? And would it stop before, like, I, you know, accidentally knock down a police officer or something like that? Because I think we need that part. We need that. That's the part we definitely need. But I don't know if we're ready. You know, like your grandparents used to tell you, when you're ready for it, it'll come, right? And then you like, but Grammy, I want 50 cents worth of salty from the store. What are you talking about? But I think this is one of those instances where when we're ready to handle the responsibility of autopilot-driven cars. That's another thing of irony again, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, normally they try these weird things on the third world, for, if that exists, that nomenclature, on developing countries first, right? But here's the other way around. They're actually testing it in, you know, the United States and so forth. So let them work out their little kinks and then send it to us in like 10 years, right?
Now, I'm glad that you mentioned third world because people often think or refer to the Bahamas as a third world country. And that's slightly incorrect, even though when you open your eyes and you look around, it looked real third worldish. It looked real ghetto-esque, right? Third world is a descriptor connected to the Cold War.
I prefer to use inner city.
Right. I prefer to use subject to dereliction of politicians. I prefer.
It's probably more accurate. Right?
Yeah, but too many letters. Yeah. Too many letters. Anyway. Back to the point, I forget I was making, Mark. You're just so good at that. So it's troubling to think that, you know, we're in a space where we don't have anybody on the cutting edge testing or interrogating the ethics of things, right? Mm. It's like, it's great to be on the cutting edge, but the cutting edge is sharp. And you need ethics on the cutting edge. Like, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
And that's the scary thing about autonomous driving, because they have to make, you know, you have to have an algorithm that decides the decision, right? If you have two people standing there and one person standing on the other side of the road and the car's going to lose control, is it automatically going to kill the one person to save two people, or is it going to kill the two people to save the one person? Or if those two people are old and the one person is young, would they go and kill the older person rather than save them? So these things have to be, I mean, it sounds crazy, right? But you have to create these algorithms.
Exactly.
Because the car is going to have to make a decision.
Right, and the car.
So if it's a Muslim or a Christian, what if you're Christian or atheist? Is it going to go and kill the atheist first? Or depending on what the government, you know, what the national religion is in that country. So a lot of stuff to think about before these things can be let out on the road.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, Aaron, for autopilot to work properly in the Bahamas, the lines on the roads need to be painted. I could be honest with you. For autopilot to work properly in the Bahamas has to become a totally different country. I mean, there's nothing that's happening in this country right now that, like, is the word commensurate, that aligns with, right, that will allow that to function. Nothing. The policing system, Ministry of Works, the road and Ministry of Transport, the way that the roads are designed, the way that they are maintained, the mapping system, the way that some brilliant politician decided that they were going to create a law that people don't have to wait on a police report after an accident.
Well, the other thing is Google Maps, right? Because when I send people a pin from my house, they try and come through Murfreesboro. And there used to be a road that they closed up, must have been 15 years ago, but that's still on the Google Maps. So you got to have, that has to be properly done as well, right?
Absolutely. Listen, absolutely. Because who's going to be responsible for my pizza when it shows up 4 hours late?
Cold.
Because the autopilot car, because y'all don't want to pay people to deliver food, can't read the Google Maps and is trying to drive off Nassau Harbor to go deliver my pizza. You know, I just think that we are well beyond ourselves. We are so far beyond ourselves, we don't even know what we're looking at when we turn around. I don't think we realize that we move so quickly from the outhouse to the executive bathroom that the vast majority of us don't know how to flush a new fancy toilet, don't know how to fix a new fancy toilet, don't know how to clean a new fancy toilet. And the people who say the toilet is for them so busy enjoying their time in the lavatory services that they forget about everything that's happening around them. I just want to say this before we transition into our next segment of the show, Mark. It's going to be a bit short today because Pajo is joining us for us to talk about their hurricane preparation campaign for 2022 is that there are very basic elements in your country, the basic elements that sort of define a country. You can't have a country unless you have these things functioning. One is a postal system. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. Those who are responsible should be embarrassed. I'm not a lawyer, but the first thing you learn in law school is the law and related to postal communications. And in the common law, if you understand that, then you know that the country been finished a long time. Right? That's a given. Traffic is another traffic enforcement, the movement of people, vehicles, goods, and services throughout your public spaces is another indicator of the status of your country. And quite frankly, that has fallen apart. It is in shambles. It is a disgrace. You have police officers that don't know traffic controls and traffic laws. You have police officers that are dispensing incorrect legal information on the scene of accidents because they have no idea who is liable or responsible in particular situations. There is no regard for the very basic systems in place. How do we know? One of those systems was children are children. And big grown adults don't play with, mess with, or groom children. Now, whether it used to happen or not, didn't discount the fact that everybody knew it was wrong. And we've gone so far past that point that we have people sitting in the halls of power trying to suggest to us that the problem is not with the adult that insists on perpetuating a relationship with a minor, but it was with the minor who in all of its human biological development, in all of the chaos going on in their brain and their body, cannot figure out how to control their hormones or discipline themselves. The place has fallen apart. Politicians no longer understand their duty of care, their parliamentary, their constitutional obligations to the state, to the people that comprise, make up the state. You treat the economy as if it is a real thing, more important than actual human lives. As you sit and collect checks but have no idea where the money is coming from. Now, it appears I'm saying all of this because I'm not saying something that I really want to say, and I ain't sure if I could say it. But what I'm going to say is this. If you think you are a politician and your life is more special than any other person in this country, if you think you are a politician and the rules apply to the regular Negroes on the plantation and not to you, you have another thing coming. It didn't start with the suggestion that public disclosures are just too hard for politicians to follow through on. It started well beyond that, well before that. But the fact that you would suggest to us that is a reasonable explanation suggests that you do not understand the assignment. Got another text here. Morning, Miss Green. Sorry, text. I'm reading with one eye. I'm reading with one eye. Morning, Miss Green. Problem is the Tesla accident is nothing new and not the first incident. The robotic cars lack the ability to respond to objects that appear suddenly in its path. Oh, well, then just put it on the stop list. In fact, obviously, we need legislation now restricting, putting a moratorium on, banning the use of the autopilot function in the Bahamas. Can I get an amen? I need an amen. Anyway, thank you, Texter. Thank you, Mark, for your patience. Thank you, audience, for staying tuned. We are going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we are going to segue to our second segment of the day where PAHO joins us to discuss their hurricane preparation campaign 2022. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green and my guest co-host, Mr. Mark Palmer. And listen, guys, we're going to remember just before we end the show, Mark has something very important to share with us in the world news segment. But again, today, PAHO joins us to discuss their 2022 hurricane preparation campaign. And Dr. Gabrielle Vivas, the advisor for health systems and services for the PAHO country office, will be joining us. Good morning, doctor. Good morning, sir. There we go. Can you hear him, Mark?
I heard something briefly.
Yeah, there we go.
Try again.
So it's not just mine. Good morning, doctor. When you are ready, just chime in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. This isn't Dr. Viva. My name is Dr. Anton Ward from the Public Hospice Authority.
Okay.
I was joining Dr. Viva, so you're correct, in collaboration, so I'm not sure he's here also.
Okay. Awesome. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good. So please tell us, introduce yourself, your formal official title.
All right, thank you. So I'm Dr. Anton Ward, the Director of Shared Services at the Public Hospitals Authority.
Okay.
And we are joining the Pan-American Health Organization in regards to hurricane preparations for the 2022 hurricane season. And so we are good partners with PAHO, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we're here to highlight the urgency for preparations throughout the country.
Absolutely.
You Ms. Green. Okay. So it's a pleasure being here.
Absolutely. And you are representative from the Public Health Authority.
Public Hospitals
Authority. Great. And let me just tell the people what PAHO is. PAHO is a specialized international health agency for the Americas. It works with countries throughout the region to improve and protect people's health. PAHO engages in technical cooperation with its member countries to fight communicable and non-communicable diseases and their causes, to strengthen health systems and to respond to emergencies and disasters. And so I imagine PAHO is partnering with the PHA in this campaign.
You are correct.
Wow, awesome. So I have a bunch of questions, but you begin the discussion.
All right, so for those your listeners who should be aware, I'll reacquaint them. The Public Hospitals Authority is our arm of the Ministry of Health. Mm-hmm. And so we are charged with managing the three public hospitals of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That is namely the Princess Margaret Hospital in Nassau. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Grand Bahama Health System in Freeport, Grand Bahama, which is comprised of the Rand Memorial Hospital and 10 public clinics. And finally, you have the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center in Nassau. Mm-hmm. And we also operate the National Emergency Medical Services, that's our ambulances, and our Supplies Management Agency, which supply pharmaceuticals and medical and surgical products throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Wow. And all of those mechanisms or bodies have to be a part of a coordination protocol or mechanism for hurricanes.
You are correct. You are correct. And so during a hurricane, we're usually led by the Ministry of Health, what is called the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, and which would be led firstly by the National Emergency Management Agency, pardon me, that's NEMA for short, who is led by Captain Stephen Russell. And so it's a chain of command from the Cabinet Office to NEMA, then NEMA to the Ministry of Health, and the Ministry of Health to the PHA. And obviously PAHO sits when we usually during a hurricane, PAHO would sit, have representatives at the Ministry of Health, EOC, and the PHA would have an EOC where a PAHO rep would also sit along. Oh. So I'm not sure if Dr. Vivas, I know, I guess we were intended to start at 10, so he may have heard your previous show and I guess had intended to come back on. So we'll see if he comes back on, but I will definitely chime in for where I can.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what is the role of the emergency medical services in preparation for and response to a disaster? And when we say emergency medical services, that includes the EMTs, right? And the ambulances. And,
Correct.
Is that like staff, nurses and doctors that are on call during an emergency or just the...
Go on, I'll let you finish, sorry.
No, I was just saying just the EMT staff.
Just the EMT staff. So it's a two-phase, two-pronged approach, I would say.
Okay.
And so let me answer your first question. The National Emergency Medical Services, so we call it NEMS, N-E-M-S, is led by Dr. Alvary Hanna. And she is charged with ensuring that the ambulance services are available pre-hurricane. Because once we are given the EOC, again, the Emergency Operations Center, has been established, and it's usually established approximately 48 hours before a hurricane. So the Met Department would inform the cabinet, and you know the protocol takes place. And so 48 hours before a hurricane, you would put in preparations. Mm-hmm. Now, 24 hours before a hurricane, once the if the winds are below 40 miles per hour, you would have ambulances throughout the country available. During a hurricane, once the winds pick up beyond 40 miles per hour, all emergency services vehicles have to be, cannot go on the roads. And so the EMTs would be prepared within the hospitals, within the various institutions. And for your nurses and doctors who are stationed, let's say for the Princess Margaret Hospital in this instance, they would have an roster for persons who will work during a hurricane and those who will work after a hurricane. And so that's what the hospital administrators are working on throughout the Public Hospitals Authority, ensuring that we have those persons who are designated to work during a hurricane and those who have to work after.
All right. Does NEMS, N-E-M-S, coordinate with RBDF and NEMA for emergency evacuation, medical evacuations beyond 40 miles per hour?
Yes, to a certain extent, yes, definitely. So NEMA takes full control of that, and the NEMA would be the central point. They would have their own EOC, the Emergency Operations Center on Gladstone Road, and where our director of NEMS would be located. And for those a scenario, someone in the Family Islands who may need to be evacuated.
All right.
Wow. They would do go through that process.
Right.
Correct.
Is there a real-time counter on the PHA media platform or presence where there's an indicator of how many hospital beds are available for pre-storm evacuation for people who are likely to have a medical emergency in the storm or cannot maintain their medical regimen without access to electricity. And would I, as a say the main caregiver in my home, be able to access a site where I could say, oh boy, there are only 25 beds left in the hospital. I think we shouldn't take the risk and we should take Grammy to the hospital or to SRC Sandilands Rehabilitation Center. And is there an existing protocol like that at all?
Very good question. It's a very lengthy one, but very good. So you have several points in that question. Mm-hmm. We don't currently have we have a website, but we don't have on the website. And we even have a Facebook account to say, well, okay, we have this amount of beds available. But fortunately, prior to incoming storm hurricane, we do PSAs, a lot of public mm-hmm. service announcements. In conjunction with the Ministry of Health, and we advise our general public, firstly, for those who have chronic morbidities, who will need medications to ensure that they have sufficient supplies, mm-hmm. because, you know, in the Bahamas, we have sometimes serious disruption with vehicular persons being able to move about with mm-hmm. Trees down, flooding, etc. And so we have a lot of PSAs for the persons with chronic morbidities to ensure that they have sufficient medical supplies, mm-hmm. prescriptions. Then we have PSAs for those persons who may be on dialysis and other services, that oncology, who would ensure that they get their treatments ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So in the event that, again, that the roads are impassable and they cannot get into the hospitals. And then we have for pregnant persons who may be near term, and to ensure that they do come into the hospital in the event that they are not able to during a hurricane. Mm-hmm. And so we have PSAs to ensure that the general public is aware to where to go to resource to get the help that they need prior to hurricanes. And I'm sure you would agree, Ms. Green, we have been the Bahamas have been impacted with hurricanes from our existence. And so we have improved and enhanced on our the work prior to hurricanes, so mm-hmm. to ensure that our citizens are safe and that they have all of the care they need prior and after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I had a bunch of questions. Mark, do you have a question?
Yeah, I think, leading off from that question, are there in your PSAs, do you address health tips for chronically ill people, before the advent of a storm?
Definitely. And so we're utilizing social media even more this year. Mm-hmm. We have a new mandate to ensure that the social media platform are inundated with the various tips. And you hit on a good point, Mark. To ensure, even for persons don't realize, for drinking water, put a little drop of bleach in your tap water to ensure that if you're in the event that you don't have access to potable water, that you can use water to drink safely. And so we have a lot of PSAs using the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, etc., to ensure tips for persons. Health-wise, but for those who are in their homes, who may be trapped in their homes during a storm.
So, the older people, they tend to not be so much on social media. I'm thinking more of them. How do you reach them? The young people are, they're all over it, right? But mm-hmm. say our elderly population, they may not be so teched up. How do you reach them? Is that through radio?
Through medias like this. We know that the elderly population listen to the radio constantly, especially mm-hmm. prior to a hurricane and during. And so we utilize platforms such as this, Guardian Radio, and the number one, and the ZNS to get our message across to the elderly population. And that has been successful thus far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let me tell you what the questions are I have, and then you run with it. So I had questions about medical responses to disasters across family islands. And then what are some health tips for chronically ill persons to prepare for disaster, and what can community members do to be prepared for medical emergencies? So I imagine with that question, it's not just about the medical emergency in my home, but the medical emergency next door or down the road, with my neighbors, particularly elderly. I think you answered, what is PHA doing in preparation for the upcoming hurricane season? But where possible, I'd also like to ask some questions about the sort of coordination with PHA and PAHO.
Okay. Well, PAHO has been extremely valuable, and PAHO would help. They have given us resources, satellite phones in particular. Awesome. During Dorian, they have been a very good resource for supplies. The list is extensive. Mm-hmm. And so for medical evacuations in particular, we have good relations with the U.S. Embassy and obviously the U.S. Department. Mm-hmm. And we have seen they have assisted us, whether it's Coast Guard with flights, with the Coast Guard with helicopters or and so PAHO in particular, mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. After a hurricane, the supplies are essential because mm-hmm. PAHO has a network of agencies that they can tap into readily. And, wow. With us being in the Bahamas, and we are limited at sometimes, I should say. But they are able to provide supplies, needed supplies, and supplies that we may not be able to get right away.
Right.
And so PAHO has been truly instrumental in assisting with medical and surgical supplies, generators after hurricanes,
They play a vital role. Absolutely. So what are some of the things that PAHO donates or ensures that we can have access to? And are some of those things that people in the corporate community can help us to purchase with PAHO's assistance? Like PAHO will connect us to the source, and then we can encourage the corporate community to ensure that we can always have those things on hand? What are some of those things?
Now, I can't answer that completely because I'm sure Dr. Vivas would be able to answer that because PAHO they revise their programs each year.
So
for instance, PAHO would be able to, in the past, would have given, after destruction, they would have provided infrastructural assistance in terms of review. So they would have provided, given you an example, free of cost,
technical support
to analyze the disruption in services.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And so I won't want to speak specifically to what PAHO will do, it could do, because like I said, they revise their program each year. And I'm not a staff member of PAHO.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could just speak as a recipient of their generosity.
Yeah, because I appreciate PAHO giving us generators, right? But I don't want PAHO to be digging in their pocket for generator money. We need PAHO to be digging in their pocket for sutures and I'm thinking the straws that you use, you open up a straw, you put it in the non-potable water, but once you suck the water up through that particular straw, it is clean, it is sanitized. Right? Mm-hmm. Like those are the sorts of things I'm thinking we should be going to PAHO for the connection, to.
Yeah, understood. Yeah. And so on that vein, corporate citizens, if they can give, you have kits, hurricane kits in terms for flashlights, batteries, and various kits they can provide to the various NGOs, the Red Cross, mm-hmm. and throughout the various shelters, because the Ministry of Housing designate various centers for shelters, and so those bodies would need assistance during a hurricane.
Yeah.
Prior, so as those corporate citizens who are listening to who are in your audience, who are listening to the show, they can take up the charge because PAHO would give hurricane kits mm-hmm. that are invaluable, needed during a hurricane, so especially for shelters, ladies, feminine kits, and the different toothbrushes, toothpaste, you know, so yeah. They can do that. That can a very good start.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So does PHA provide, or you know, provide PAHO and all coordinating agencies with a list of sort of quote unquote medical and first aid supplies that you should have in your hurricane preparedness kit?
Correct. And even vice versa. PAHO would even, because they a representative of the World Health Organization, and you know, each year things improve, they would even advise us, okay, so this is what you said should have been in the kit last year, but now we have seen, based on recent occurrences, you should add these things. Mm-hmm. And so they also assist in terms of advising us.
Mm-hmm. So yes. So tell me, what exactly is a disaster response?
Oh, good question. Good point, sorry. So a disaster response is how the government plans to assist a community who has been impacted by either natural or man-made disaster.
Okay.
And so we have been, again, fortunate. PAHO, through the assistance, have assisted in disaster response training with NEMA and other government organizations. I think there's one scheduled for June next month. And so disaster response plays a key role in the aftermath of a natural or man-made disaster to ensure that recovery of the impacted community mm-hmm. is brought to speedy resolution.
So how would you define an emergency disaster? Because we're very familiar with hurricanes. You know, we know mm-hmm. we got the hurricane season, but uh-huh. are there any other things that we should be looking out for in terms of what would be classified as such as an emergency or disaster?
Right now we're focusing on hurricanes. I know out of the remit of, we can talk about fire disasters. Even now you have telecommunications disaster when unfortunately sometimes how do we respond to man-made or technical disasters? You have to get your satellite phones because if BTC, God forbid, are down, how do we communicate?
Now, listen, Mama Coase is sell everything in the world except for satellite phones, right? does any coordinating mechanism facilitate access to satellite phones? And go on.
Each fortunately, we have been very blessed in the Bahamas to have access to satellite phones from about maybe 10 odd years now.
Okay.
And so each year, again, the satellite phone system upgraded. PAHO donated several after Hurricane Dorian. Mm-hmm. And so we have been blessed. And even, I can even say, the NEMA has been able to distribute satellite phones to the various family island administrators. And so I would hope you would appreciate, Mark and Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we in Nassau take for granted sometimes the accessibility to the technical resources that we have. We have BTC, we have Alive. And once you have a disruption in a far-flung family island like Miguana and Nagua,
mm-hmm.
One line may break and they don't have any telephone services. And so we are blessed now that they at least have satellite phone to communicate with mm-hmm. Nassau and other islands to get help.
Absolutely. Now I have witnessed with my own eyes, looking at my own phone, at least three instances of tornadic activities, mini tornadoes and water spouts. Now, they've mainly been water spouts, but they've been so close to land that I think there's a big concern that they could easily hit land and become a tornado, you know, versus a waterspout. Are there protocols for tornadic or tornado activity that I imagine will pick up as the hurricane season picks up?
I'm sure there is. Fortunately, NEMA would be dependent on the Department of Meteorology to provide with those protocols.
I got you.
I guess we're so focused on hurricanes. You're correct, though. That's a good point. You've seen, you know, people send you these WhatsApp with the various water spouts and minor tornadic, resembling, you know, tornadic activities. We have to be not only mindful of hurricanes, but we have to look at these other natural disasters. And with climate change, we should focus more on other things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hopeful we'll get a wider, that's maybe one of your next sessions will be with the Department of Meteorology in terms of how we could be aware, and not only aware, but ready for other natural disasters like tornadic activity.
Mm-hmm. I have a question actually on mitigation, you know, the bit that comes before a disaster. And I've spent a fair bit of time in Eleuthera. I spent some time in Cat Island. How do you have a plan for strengthening the local medical communities, you know, with first aid training, CPR training? Because I think that's really critical, you know, after a disaster hits.
You're welcome. Yeah, very good point, Mark. Yes, that's under the purview of the Ministry of Health. However, the PHA assists in terms of EMT, what Ms. Green spoke on earlier, EMT training. And so we go throughout the family islands training local first responders, because a lot of the family islands do not have ambulances right now, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we assist with the EMT training. That's our first order of what we thought we would capture, because we are, you know, that's a strength of the PHA in terms of emergency medical services. Mm-hmm. And so we have been doing that. And so, but to answer your question, the Ministry of Health is responsible for strengthening the local public clinics.
Mm-hmm. So with the expansion of our tourism product, we are bringing in visitors and guests from all around the world, and almost every single language group is visiting or has visited the Bahamas. Do you partner with any organizations to ensure that communications are published in multiple languages, or that there are translators available for particular emergency situations, or like online for access to the information for non-English speakers?
And I would imagine Haitian Creole would be probably one of those languages.
Yes. Yeah, Mark, both good questions. And Mark, you hit it on the head. We, for the PHA, we have, I'm sure the Ministry of Tourism could answer that more readily for tourism. But we fortunately, for example, the Princess Margaret Hospital, in particular, we have Creole speaking patient representatives who are in the hospitals who can assist with the Creole speaking population. And also, again, fortunately, for some of our PSAs are in Creole, and in particular for the hurricane season.
Right. I know that our visiting cultures and the cultures that live within us and among us, these are wonderful people, and they typically make themselves available if a translator is needed, you know, for members of their community. But during storm time, it may be difficult to access that. But I think it would be great. I'm going to talk to some of my civil society people and ask them if we can get funding for an organization that simply provides translation services, but particularly in emergencies, medical emergencies, hurricanes, and disaster responses, because I think that would be a great addition to the complement of mechanisms that coordinate for hurricane and disaster responses.
Very good point.
Another question for you here, but I'm taking it sort of from the PAHO side to the PHA side. What types of resources does PHA have available to ensure continuity of services during and after emergencies or disasters? And I'm thinking like in terms of information, patient records, ensuring that things aren't destroyed or lost in a storm, and also storage facilities for more than just documents, but for medical supplies and auxiliary supplies.
But, okay. So for, let's hit with the medical records. Well, fortunately, we have a data center, mm-hmm. and where a lot of the electronic patient records would be held, mm-hmm. and that is backed up on a cloud.
Okay.
And so, yeah, definitely they have, that's a protocol we have in place, in obviously being in the hurricane belt. And to ensure the continuity of services, each hurricane season, beginning the month of May, we ensure that not only here in the Nassau, throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we supply all of our local health clinics with hurricane supplies. So that's the pharmaceutical supplies and medical and surgical supplies, your gloves, your gauze, and whatnot. So they would have about 2 weeks of supplies in the event mm-hmm. that a mail boat cannot get to them.
Okay.
So, and then we have that also in our warehouses for the Princess Margaret Hospital, the Rand Memorial Hospital in Freeport, and the Saddle Lins Rehabilitation Center to ensure that there isn't a disruption. So we have set aside, as during the month of May, we ensure that we have hurricane medical and surgical supplies and pharmaceuticals. And then to add to that, we have to ensure that we have each month, we do a hurricane preparedness check throughout the hospitals to ensure the generators are topped up with fuel, the potable water tanks are filled with thousands of gallons of water in the event that you have water disruption, trees are trimmed, the storm drains are cleared, sandbags are ready. So we do a hurricane preparedness check every month, beginning April, actually, until November, to ensure that the continuity of services will happen
yes.
in the event of a hurricane.
Absolutely. So I want to encourage community members, especially those on family islands, to stay in constant communication with your local health teams, especially about access to and availability of medication leading into hurricane season and throughout hurricane season. People can't prepare, make provisions for things they are unaware of, you know,
correct.
And you can't get mad at the government if they didn't know that you needed this thing.
Correct.
And so that's one way to ensure that you are taken care of is being present and visible and letting people know that you exist and you have needs. Also, I wanted to crack a little joke and tell y'all, don't put this data in the cloud. When I go to the office and somebody tell me, miss you in the Bahamas, the sun is shining 360 days of the year, I can't get to that right now. I'm going to fall out, sir. I'm going to fall out. but we do know that we have the proper backup for that data, right? Like the systems know how important that is.
Correct. Oh, yes. And like yeah. I said, we have learned our lessons from numerous hurricanes, and you try to improve and enhance upon each year to
yes.
revise your protocols. And that's why I know Dr. Rivas, like I said, if he was here, he would have said the revisions that PAHO, I'm sure, are doing this year based mm-hmm. on lessons learned from Laurie and then the other hurricanes in the past.
Right. It's absolutely getting better. And the thing I think... you know, I feel good listening to the work that's being done, and the, you know, people know what needs attention. And that's so important. And I think next week we are going to address some of the psychological and mental health issues that come with hurricanes and hurricane preparedness. I remember one year I spent 9 days without water and 14 days without power after Hurricane Floyd, I think it was. It was a doozy. And for most instances, the hardest part of the recovery, you know, the hardest part of the storm is the recovery and the return to normalcy. And I think that requires a lot of psychological preparation as well. Are there any last words or tips for the general public coming from the PAHO Hurricane Preparation Campaign?
Well, and I will close on what you just commented on. And we understand the importance of the aftermath of any natural disaster, such as a hurricane. And we have, so in that vein, the Public Hospice Authority has instituted a clinical psychology service. I don't say psychiatric, psychology service, mm-hmm. where we go into the community after the aftermath of a hurricane to give counseling and whatever mental health services that are required. Mm-hmm. And so we have been very fortunate to have a good team of psychologists and sociologist team from the Santa Luz Rehabilitation Center mm-hmm. to accompany the Ministry of Health on the various aftermath reviews throughout mm-hmm. the communities. And so as you are correct, it's key to ensure that, you know, the person's mental health, mental well-being are also attended to. So we try to ensure that the physical well kept through our health services, but we also ensure that the mental health is put back on balance after the aftermath of a natural disaster.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Ward.
Thank you, yes. Ms. Green and Mark. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to future collaborations.
Yes, I'm going to send a note to your boss and tell them, please send Dr. Ward back. With whoever you send, it was a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Producer, just before we go, thank you, Dr. Ward.
Thank you.
Look forward to PAHO joining us next week. I got to tell the people, Mr. Mark Palmer said Putin put out a list of almost 1,000 mm-hmm. names of people who can't go to Russia. Mark, am I on that list?
I couldn't even find it. I had to look all over the place, but I didn't find it. And thankfully, you're not. But when you came in this morning wearing that eye patch,
yeah.
I thought you was trying to hide from someone, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, I was technically. Ma'am, I don't know how many tamarinds are left in your tree, but if you don't let me count them, I will never know. That's who I was hiding from. Anyway, thank you for my audience tuning in today. Thank you, Dr. Ward, for an informative and extremely interesting conversation. And I look forward to our conversation next week, Tuesday, with PAHO as we close out the series. Mark, thank you very much. We got to figure out when we're going to talk about the baby formula shortage. I ain't got no baby, but I concern. Yeah. I concern as well. It's a big story. How could you vote against abortion rights and also vote against feeding baby formula rights? I don't get it, but we'll look into it next week. Thank you, producer, for your patience. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, because Guardian Radio AM is coming up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.